Psalms number 11, verse 3. We're going to read one verse and depart therefrom. But we want you sure to see that verse. Psalms number 11 and verse 3. Jesus said, whenever he told the Sermon on the Mount, he ended it with a very familiar phrase. He said that if a man hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, hears it and does it, he would be like a man that built his house upon a rock. Storms came, beat against that house, but it stood. He said, but if you hear these sayings of mine and do not do them, then when the storms come, it will undermine your home, and great will be the fall thereof. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, said that all of the principles that he had in the Scriptures were based upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and that Jesus Christ was the chief cornerstone, the chief part of that. Built upon a rock, built upon a foundation. Well, the psalmist gives us another look at that foundation in Psalms number 11 and verse 3. He says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Wednesday night, following the prayer meeting, Brother Barron asked the deacons and I to meet. We met in the Sunday school rooms, and he had been following up for us for a while, and I appreciate it so very much, to try to get some metal posts to go under the parsonage garage. We have some temporary wooden posts that we put up when we built it, and we have been on the lookout for some metal posts ever since then to put under there. Some of you know the reasons why. You saw the one that we have already cut away. As soon as the sun got to it and so forth, it bent more and so forth. And we think that it works pretty well right now. But we fear that whenever a snowstorm comes, see, I've got faith there's going to be snow. All right. We believe that whenever a snowstorm comes, that it may not be able to withstand the pressure. And if one of the wooden pillars that we have break, the entire garage may come falling down. Not only would it do great damage to the garage and to the house, because it would pull away from the house, leave the house susceptible to water damage and so forth, but if by perchance my cars were parked under there, it would be disastrous. If the foundation does not hold, it can be disastrous. It's holding right now. But if something comes along and the foundation was to be faulty, it would be disastrous. Well, what I want to do today is to share with you some reasons why we need to examine the foundation that we're building on. And then to very briefly share with you some foundation stones that I believe in. Some stones that I believe will stand the storms of life. No matter how big the snowstorm or the hurricane or whatever the situation may be, I believe some stones that will stand those storms. And I think this is tremendously important. During the 9 o'clock hour, we talked about how to share your faith. And we talked about the fact that you need to have a before and a conversion and an after. You can share with people what you were before, how Jesus saved you, what happened as a result of that. And we talked about the three kinds of salvation decision that you talk about, a decision in which a person is saved at a young age, continues to grow for the Lord, and has continued to hold on. The prodigal son relationship, where you were saved at a young age, you went away from God, at a later date you made a commitment again to God, and now you're standing for the Lord. And then talk about the adult salvation, in which people are saved at an adult age. They lived a rough life or whatever. Then they got saved, and after they were saved, now they're living for the Lord, and the Lord blesses through those sort of things. So We talk about the different kinds of salvation, and all those things are very important for us to understand and to share with people. But if we're going to share with people, we need to have something that we share with them that is correct. Bad thing to say, speak with our kids present, I guess. But most of you are aware that some of my least favorite people in all the world are doctors. For a lot of reasons. Might have been with lawyers. But they're doctors and all. They're not my favorite people in all the world. And that's not the doctor's fault. I know some nice doctors. So I'm not talking about personalities. I just hate shots. I hate them. If the Lord hadn't called me to preach, I know. I spent my life inventing a shot that you didn't have to give the people with a shot. There's a way to do it, and you believe there's a way to do it. I don't know how, but there's a way to give people an IV without sticking a needle in them. I don't know what it is yet, but there's a way. And if the Lord will give me the brain one day, I'm going to figure it out even in preach and do it. But when I see doctors and talk about those things and all like that, one of the things that through the course of time has caused some problems are things like, and again, this is personal preference. I'm just talking to you, all right? This is not medical. I'm not a doctor. This is personal preference. All right? Things like salt. See, all of a sudden, 5-10 years ago, somebody put out an article in the AMA Journal, that New England Journal of Medicine, that salt was dangerous. And now when you go to the hospital, the first thing they do is take away all the salt out of your food. You can't eat it. I mean, it don't even taste like cardboard. No salt whatsoever. No taste whatsoever. It's just no salt. And the reason because doctors say that's harmful to you. I have no doubt that too much salt is harmful for you. Please don't misunderstand that. There's a place. Too much salt is harmful for you. But now they come out and say later, this salt's not so bad after all. In some cases, it's bad. But in most cases, it's not. A more recent one, and I will have to admit, I did have some glee in this one, was about 10 years ago, they came out with people who drink coffee are going to catch cancer, and you know, you're going to die in the next 3 minutes. And if you drink more than 2 cups of coffee a day, you might as well go ahead and fill out your life insurance policy. It's over for you. You had it. You better drink decaffeinated. That's what's happening. If you go to the doctor, first thing you say is, drink decaffeinated coffee. And now, they come to find out that the decaffeinated coffee is what does the harm, not the real coffee. I like it. And you see the foundations that people make and fail. We have those sort of situations in America today. We live in a country that is on grease skids going to hell just as hard as it can go. They're putting more grease on the skids every single day. I mean, we're going just as hard as we can go. Just as fast as we can go, we're headed in. We live in a country that has moral decay, murder, robbery, rape, stealing, anything you can name. It is today a part of the fabric of America. It is found from the church house to the schoolhouse. It's not just in the slums of New York anymore. It's found everywhere. We find preachers, quote-unquote, that abuse children. We find daycare centers at churches that have child abuse and other sort of things involved with them all the time. We find things today that people are doing in the name of religion or in the name of schools or whatever, and they shock and abhor us because of the decline in America. I received a bulletin this week saying from our insurance company, saying, please do not accept donations of land from people. What in the world can you accept donations of land from people anymore? Said, without first running an EPA check on it. EPA check on donations of land? Salvation Army in Ohio accepted 8 acres of land from people. They gave them 8 acres of land as a gift to the Salvation Army. So far, the estimate of cleanup costs have run to $12.6 million. And there's no way they can pay it. They're going to go bankrupt. and it has to be paid, sadly, it has to be paid in sense. The Salvation Army now owns it, it's their red wagon. What the Salvation Army didn't know was that that used to be a paint factory. And when the man gave them the land, they just thought it was a plant. And they got the plant and were going to use it for some things, and then the EPA came in. And now suddenly it's going to cost $12.6 million just to clean up the residual paint from it. That doesn't include anything else. That's just cleaning up the residual paint that's involved with that. We live in that sort of a situation in the world today in which the foundations are being destroyed. We live in a situation in which there are no more statesmen in government. They're politicians. They're not statesmen. All they try to do is try to get as much from you as they can and as much for themselves as they can, and they don't have any regard for you whatsoever. They can pass higher taxes for you and all those sort of things and go home and just say, well, glory, look what we did for you. And it doesn't seem to bother them one iota whatsoever in the world. Now, may the power to be ordained of God. I believe that we get the kind of government we deserve. Now, that doesn't hurt us, I don't know what doesn't. But I believe we get the kind of government we deserve. The kind that we elect. All a politician is an average John Q. citizen put under a microscope. That's all he is. He's under a microscope all the time. And instead of him having to deal with a $100 salary a week, he deals with a $100 billion salary a week. That's the only difference. He can spend as fast as you can spend $100, he can spend $100 billion. That's just the way it works. That's just the way it is. And we live in a country today in which this sort of situation goes on. And we could put many other things in the foundation to be destroyed, but you get the general picture. Saddest of all of these things, however, are the fact that this foundation decay has come over into the Christian life. There are Christians today who claim to be Christian, let me put it that way, the Christian in quotation marks, who claim to be Christian, who live like the devil. They drink, they commit adultery, they swear, they steal, they go to the exact same places the world goes to, they have absolutely no Christian convictions whatsoever, and yet whenever you ask them about religion, about Christianity, about the things of God, they'll say, if you're a preacher, now I deal with this, but I'm a preacher, they'll say, oh, preacher, I talk to the man upstairs all the time. Don't know him as God, they know him as the man upstairs. Somebody far away, distant, Lord, you ready to meet that man upstairs? Oh, no. I'm a Christian. I've joined the church. I'm good. Oh, I don't do bad things, but I'm not ready to meet the man upstairs yet. Well, I try to get across to them a little fact of life. And this is one of the foundation stones we'll get into a little bit later. But here's a fact of life. There are only two kinds of people in this room. Those people are going to heaven and those people are going to hell. There's no twilight zone in this church. There's no place where you can say, well, preacher, I'm not exactly going to heaven, but I'm not exactly going to hell either. I'm sort of in that twilight. No, you're not. Jesus said you're either for me or against me. When you get outside of this church, there are no twilight zones. You're either saved or lost. That's the only two kinds of people there are, saved or lost. And those are the kind of things that we deal with all the time. Not only do we have Christians that walk like a duck, and quack like a duck, and fly like a duck, and act like a duck, as far as the world is concerned, but we have Christians who have no convictions about serving the Lord. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They don't witness. They know. It's in 9 o'clock service. They know. If they try to share their faith with the people at work or at school, that person would look at them and say, are you a Christian? And they know that's where they don't witness. Because they know if they did, they would get left at it. Because people would say, I can't believe you're a Christian. I mean, what in the world? And they have no conviction. And they have no standards. And because of that, our foundations have fallen. Those are the problems. Let me give you the principles. I'll tell you that about the problems. You know the problems. You can see what they are. Let me tell you what the proper foundations are. I cannot list all of them today. Well, I'm trying to list all of them today. But I want you to know 7 things that I believe are good foundations and that you need to know about. And I want you to know where I stand on these issues. I want you to know what I believe about these things. Because I'm teaching you week to week. And what I believe will determine to a great deal what you believe. And I want you to know where I stand on the vision. For if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? First thing I believe is this. I believe that Jesus Christ is fully and absolutely God. I believe He is God completely. I believe He became a man and He lived a righteous life here on the earth. I believe He died on the cross outside of Jerusalem to pay the debt for sin that I could not pay. I believe He was buried, and I believe He was resurrected from the dead, never to die again. I believe He ascended to God the Father in heaven, and that He awaits the completion of God's plan. And when that plan is completed, I believe He will return back to the earth and receive His followers, who are in fact His bride, to Himself. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died, was resurrected, and is coming again. And that is a foundation stone of belief. And most people will say, "Oh, preacher, I believe that." And yet they do not guide their life at all by that principle. And whenever you ask them about changing the world, they think the world can be changed by better government. If we just got all them politicians in office, I'd throw them out on the air. We'd have a better government. No, we just have another new bunch of crooks. Same scenario, just different names. That's all it is. Let me tell you what this world is. This world is Titanic. It has hit the iceberg. And it is sinking. And God has said it will sink. There's not a hope for it. The captain stand up on the bridge saying, "Oh, everything's going to be all right. Don't panic now. Everything's going to be all right." But down on the low decks where you live at, you see the cold water seeping through. And you have a choice. You can spend all of your time rearranging the furniture in your cabin so that you have the prettiest cabin on the Titanic. I mean, you've got the best looking cabin on the Titanic. You can ignore the water coming up around your feet. You can ignore the hollers outside, "Abandon ship! Abandon ship!" And you can continue to move your curtains around and move your chairs around and make yours the best looking cabin on the Titanic. But the only hope you have is in the fact that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And if you miss that hope, if you miss that life jacket, if you don't take that life raft, you'll go down with the ship. So I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died for our sins. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it is absolutely the Word of God. I believe it contains principles and applications that apply in 1990. I believe every situation you face in your life, you can find the answers. Now, not specific answers. God won't say, "This is the color car for you to buy." But I'm talking about principles and applications. I believe you can find every principle and every application for life in the Word of God. And I believe we need to put the Word of God at the head of our list. And I will tell you this. I believe if our public schools could, and I know they can't, that's just because of the corrupt government and all we have, but I believe if our public schools could make a course on biblical ethics a part of the curriculum of their schools, it would change the face of America. Amen? I believe that. I believe one of the things that has happened in America today that has gone its thrown us so far off course has been the fact that we have lost the direction. We've lost the place that we're going, and that's found in the Word of God. And the sad truth is, I will embarrass you, but the sad truth is, you, in this church today, most of you do not average reading one chapter of the Bible a day. One chapter a day. Because the Bible is important, and yet you do not know its principles nor apply its principles. You know what comes on television. You know 16 phone numbers of 17 people, but you don't know three verses of Scripture you can quote instantly to tell someone about how to be saved. And we don't think the Bible is important. Well, I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that the most important thing we can do, I believe we need to read it. I believe we need to study it. I believe we need to obey it. I believe that the most important thing you can do for your children is to have them in Sunday school.
Amen.
If I had the choice, and I had children, and I had the choice of my kids missing a day of public school, missing a day of Sunday school, there would be no choice to me. My kids would miss public school before they miss Sunday school. Because a million years from now, the ability to add up algebraic formulas might be interesting, but it won't be vital. But 100 years from now, their relationship with Jesus Christ will be all that matters. I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and we need to read it and study it and hear it. I believe, thirdly, that salvation is not an experience, but a commitment. I believe that salvation is not an experience, but a commitment. I believe salvation does not simply affect my emotions. I don't believe I simply feel better because I'm saved. I feel better because I'm saved, but that's not the key. I believe salvation will affect my attitudes and my actions. It is a commitment of my life to Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't believe it may be perfect, but I do believe that it will affect everything I do. And if it only affects my mind, it's a faulty faith. We'll get on this at another date, another time, but let me tell you something. Demons believe and tremble. They're going to hell. I believe salvation does not simply affect my mind. I believe it is a commitment of my heart and of my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will live for Him and love Him, and He will be a part of everything that I do. It is not simply an experience. It is a commitment. It is a time in my life that I said, I am not going to be ruled by sin. I am going to commit myself to God, and I believe that salvation is something we make a commitment to God about. And then fourthly, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit convicts a person of sin. I believe the Holy Spirit converts that person. It's His power that you convert that person through the Word of God. I believe it is the Holy Spirit that empowers a person. As you know, I do not think I have to have the evidence of speaking in some ecstatic language to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I do believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe every Christian should be, for the Bible commands them to be. And I believe it will affect their tongue. It will cause them to be able to speak to themselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. They can melt in their heart into the Lord. It won't be some la-la-la. It'll be a changed heart and a changed life, which will change your lips. And instead of you quarreling and complaining and grumbling all the time, you'll talk to people about the goodness and the greatness of God. And that comes because of being filled with the Holy Spirit, who is the third part of the Trinity of God. And I believe you cannot do the work of God without the power of God. I said it means that I'll say it today. I believe that if I do the work of God without the power of God, it's like trying to hit the ocean with a pitchfork. You'll work yourself to death and never accomplish anything. If you're going to be what you ought to be for God, you're going to have to yield yourself to the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you're going to teach a class, you need to say, God, I want the Holy Spirit to guide my life. If you're going to sing a song, you say, Lord, let the Holy Spirit guide my life. If you're going to be a part of the choir, let the Holy Spirit guide my life. If you're going to receive an offering, let the Holy Spirit guide my life. If you're going to give in an offering, let the Holy Spirit guide my life. Let the Holy Spirit be that that guides in your life and empowers you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe salvation is not an experience but a commitment. I believe the Holy Spirit is that part that convicts and converts and places us in the body of Christ. I believe that Christians should follow the example of Christ by always making the will of God the primary thing in their life. The example of Christ was that He always did His Father's will. Do you know how many people that call themselves Christians never consider the will of God? All they consider is it good for me? Not considering whether it's the will of God, but is it good for me? Jesus chose always to do those things that please the Father. I believe that it is not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe that every Christian ought to be a witness and to bear a witness. I believe you ought to use every means you can, every time you can, everywhere you can, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many Christians never consciously, during the course of a week, bear witness to their faith in Jesus Christ. The communists do, the Buddhists do, the Muslims do. Christians don't. They do not consciously tell someone that they have accepted Jesus Christ and He has changed their lives. And they are a different person because of that. I believe that we ought to be witnesses for Jesus. And then finally, I believe that the end of time is very, very near. I believe that God is coming back, that Jesus is coming back for His church very soon. I believe the next event on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. And I believe that will happen instantly in the twinkling of an eye without any time for you to repent or think or do anything. If you're ready when He calls, you'll be ready, and if you're not, you won't. That's the way it's going to be. When it happens, it's just like getting in a car wreck. I've heard people, oh, when I get in a wreck, I'm going to ask the Lord to have mercy on me. No, you don't. Listen, when you get in a car wreck, all you can do is hold on for dear life. It happens so quickly until you don't have time to think about anything. It happens. And when the rapture takes place, it'll be that quick. And I believe that's the next event in the time of God. And I believe that'll usher in the tribulation and all the other things that will be involved with that. These are some foundation stones. From these you can add multitudes of other stones, but these are some foundation stones, and if these stones are corrupted, our foundation will fall. And let me tell you quickly how they're corrupted. Most people don't believe Jesus Christ is the only hope for man.
You mean the heathen over in Africa, if they don't heard about Jesus Christ, they can't be saved?
Yep, make that.
You mean that all them Muslims, there's millions of them. I mean, they're religious people. You mean all them people go to hell if they don't trust Jesus?
Yes, believe that.
How about China? There's a billion people in China. And those are good people. They worship their ancestors. You mean to tell me you believe that a billion people in China will go to hell apart from God if they don't trust Jesus Christ?
Yes, believe that. Sadly, there's only one hope for man in heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. He said, I can tell by looking at you that a lot of you don't believe that. I said, preacher. See, I believe, it's like I preach that. Wait a minute. I believe only people are lost. There's only one hope for man in heaven. That's Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible is the Word of God to be followed and heeded. We have every book in the world today. Whenever you need answers, you don't go to the Bible. You read Abby or astrology, or watch her all day. Don't read the Word of God. And that's where the answer is at. I believe that salvation is not just an experience, but a commitment. You don't have to be changed today. Everybody in the world is a Christian. Everybody in Lake City is a Christian. Well, why do you know they're Christians? Because you're asking them. I ask them. I'm asking about that. How do you know they're a Christian? Well, because they said so. Some of them told me this Christian's drunk. Some of them told me this Christian's dealing drugs. Some of them told me this Christian's everything you name on them. But they are. They're Christians. Well, how do you know you're a Christian? I live in Lake City. What would I be a Christian? I don't believe it's something just affects your mind. I believe it affects your heart and your attitude and your actions. I believe the Holy Spirit is the power of God, and I believe that there are many Christians that think now that education is all that we need. If we could get more props, we've never had more things available to us and never done less work for God. Because we're trying to do without the power of God. The Holy Spirit's got to be there. Don't do anything. And then Christian living, anymore, nobody knows what to believe on Christian living. I mean, you do what you please, and everybody said that's all right. I think a man has to answer to his own conscience. Well, there's a place in the Bible about that. It says every man did that by his own side. And God condemned him because of that. And then the end of time. I believe the world's going in one of these days, not in my lifetime, but one of these days, the world's going in. And get ready for it? Not today. Not today. These are seven foundations, I believe, are being corroded. I believe if we keep on these stones, we can stand the storms. But I fear that some people have been taking the hammers to the stones, breaking them apart. And some people have wooden pillars that will not stand the storms. And they need to get right with God. Will your anchor hold and grip the solid rock? I want you to turn to number 419.